Welcome back, everyone. It is episode 13 of the Golden Goal Podcast. Javi and I are back. Hope you guys are over the Sunday scaries because it is officially scary season. October 1st. How's it going, Hav?
Ooh, spooky.
I'm never doing that again.
It's good.
It's been good, man. Finally in October. Man, time just flies when you're having fun, man. It just seems like yesterday when we first started our first episode.
It seems like yesterday. Before you know it, winter transfer window will be here, and maybe United will sign a player.
Man, you know what, man? I'm not going to put my hopes up. But, you know, it would be a Christmas miracle if it happened.
Hey, we can all believe, and we can all dream. But, yeah, it's episode 13. Welcome back, everyone. We're going to talk a little bit of Premier League today. We're going to save Champions League, since it is Tuesday, we're going to save Champions League, until next episode, which will hopefully be either tomorrow or Thursday of this week. We know there were games today, but we will just hold off on those until, later this week. But yeah, we're going to do Premier League today, go over some of the score lines, some notable storylines from around the world and golden goals for the weekend. And yeah, I think that'll be just about it for this episode. But there'll be more to unpack next time around. We've got two competitions to dive into.
Such a big load that we have going on.
But there's some good games this weekend. What game do you want to start with? Doesn't matter to me.
Let's get the poopy one out of the way first. Arsenal United.
Dude, that was...
You know what, dude? I might as well have been watching a League Two match. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, man... It's really sad how far these graceful teams have fallen from their pedestal. You know, back in the day, it used to be an Arsene Wenger versus Sir Alex Ferguson team. Everyone used to be stoked about it. And this past Monday, man, that was some shit soccer that we watched. That was a shit show, honestly. I think my Park District team from 10 years ago probably would have done a lot better. So
yeah, I was actually able to catch some of this while I was at work, and it was fucking sloppy, like no doubt about it. Spot on with the League Two comparison. But yeah, but it's crazy how much these two teams have fallen from grace, so to speak. I actually saw a tweet. I don't know if it was before or after the game. It was what the captains of each team looked like 15 years ago with Roy Keane and Patrick Vieira to now it was Ashley Young and Granit Xhaka.
Oh, man. Dude, you know it's bad when Granit Xhaka's captaining a team, honestly. Yeah, you know, absolutely. It's bad. And Ashley Young, to be honest with you. God damn it.
What has leadership come to?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. I guess we'll just give you a quick recap then. I mean, final score was 1-1. United scored first, and then Aubameyang ended up scoring the second goal after the linesman. I don't know if you saw that, Lee.
Yeah. He was like almost, I don't know if he was screened by the play, but obviously Aubameyang was well onside because was that Maguire keeping him on?
Yeah, it was Maguire keeping him on.
And then fucking class finish. I'll give him that. Yang.
Yeah, no, Yang had a fucking beautiful finish. Again, United questioning what the fuck you were doing there. I don't know what the hell. I think Axel gave it away, and then I mean it was just sloppy, bro. I mean those are the mistakes that you got to get rid of, yo.
Scotty McSauce with the goal though.
Scotty McSauce with the goal, very nice goal. Actually, I'll save it for later. That was my golden goal of the week, but I'll get into it more.
Okay.
I'll talk about it more at the end of the pod when you go over. But no, yeah, nice goal. Both were nice finishes, but overall very sloppy game. Yeah, man, it's just like, I mean, let's go over this real quick. What do you think of Pepe so far? First,
I know we've talked about him a couple times already, but, I remember I did say, you know, I think he'll adapt, but you know, time's a ticking at this point and he's not living up to his price tag, obviously, but I don't know if it's the fact that this league is too fast for him or what it is, but he's just been so underwhelming so far. And, you know, I think it's the French league in particular, just because of its poor quality. It's really difficult for players to make the jump from that league, because there was another kid that plays for Newcastle, which we'll talk about Newcastle later, but Alan St. Maxim.
Yeah. He was a beast in the league.
I think
one.
He played for Rennes. Did he play for Rennes?
Yeah, I think it was for Rennes.
But he was really good. Really good in
Rennes
FIFA.
Rennes or Nice.
One of the two. Yeah, it might have been Nice. Yeah. Really, really fun to play with in FIFA, but that's obviously doesn't always translate. But really did really well for Nice or Rennes, whoever it was. And he kind of fits the same mold as Pepe. Obviously, Pepe had a little bit of a better season, but that's just another example of someone from the French league who's had a tough time making that jump.
Yeah, dude. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't want to write off as like Pep is a flop right now or anything. I mean, he's still got a lot of time, but I mean, he hasn't been so convincing, right? Just a lot of, like unnecessary touches, a lot of flashy moves. I mean, you just got to have more end product, right?
Yeah.
And if you just haven't seen it yet. So hopefully, man, he pulls through, because I mean, I just hope he doesn't fall to the pressure of his price tag, because that can get to a lot of young players. And, I just hope he picks it up, man. But other than that, yeah, I mean, I didn't have a lot other than that. I mean, David Luiz on Arsenal again, I mean, was poop. Granit Xhaka, poop. I wasn't really impressed with Torreira either, man.
Yeah, he came off early. He came off early. Well, I think with Arsenal, it's either Torreira or Xhaka, but it shouldn't be both.
No, I don't think. I think, honestly, I think Torreira should be playing where Xhaka's playing.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like they've really stuck with the same formation. You know, some games we see they play with a little bit of an attacking midfielder, which didn't really this game. They kind of played a flat three in the middle. Mm-hmm. Usually when they play with that attacking mid, it's usually Ceballos in there or Ozil on once in a blue moon. But then now they're kind of alternating between the two. And then we saw 4-3-3 this weekend or Monday, and it was Torreira and Xhaka in there. And like I said, I think it should be one or the other. And I actually thought Guendouzi had a good game. He's been, I think, one of the few bright spots that's been consistent for Arsenal this year outside of him and Yang.
Yeah, I agree 100%. He's got talent. I mean, how old is Guendouzi? Do you know?
I think he's 21? Yeah, he's 20.
20 years old?
Yeah.
I mean,
he was born in 99. Isn't that fucking crazy to think about?
Bro. I'm old.
This makes you feel old as shit.
Hold my beer.
The Saka kid had a decent game. But with going back to Pepe really quick, maybe it's time to sit him for a game, maybe bring him off the bench, and maybe give this Reece Nelson kid a shot. I don't know what Arsenal fans' thoughts are of Reece Nelson. Yeah. I haven't seen him play too much.
Uh-huh.
But maybe it's just for one game at least, Reece Nelson ahead of him, because, I mean,
he's not been doing much, man.
Pepe's got a goal from a penalty that Yang gave to him.
And then an assist.
And one or two assists. Yeah, so it couldn't hurt them, honestly, to give Reece Nelson. He's an academy kid. Maybe he'll be a little bit more used to the what to expect, basically.
From the English side of the game.
But was not impressed with Arsenal. I don't know where they'd be without Aubameyang and Guendouzi at this point.
What about what do you think of this whole entire Ozil situation, real quick?
I thought they should have
sold him.
I thought they should have sold him a year and a half ago. He obviously doesn't fit in Emery's system.
Yeah.
And I think it's just he needs a fresh start.
Yeah, no, I think fans though are against him being benched. I think they'd rather have Ozil on the team and Emery out, to be honest with you. I don't know if you Arsenal fans can all attest to that. But I mean, he's a creative player. I just feel like with his talent, you should try to find a spot for him on the team. I don't know though. I mean, I don't know. That's just my two cents, to be honest. I mean, it'd be better than having Xhaka in there.
Yeah, I mean, and once again, it goes back to what is the style that Emery wants to play? Does he really have a style? I don't know, because if he's going to play with an out-and-out number 10, is it going to be Ceballos or is it going to be Ozil? And is he going to keep switching the formation? I mean, all those things come into play, and obviously Ozil's out of favor, so I don't see him coming back into the squad on a consistent basis unless Emery moves on. But I think he's... How long has he been at Arsenal now? 5 years? Four years?
About 4 or 5 years, probably, yeah.
You know,
on $350K a week, also.
Fucking dick ton of money.
That's Alexis Sanchez type situation right there.
And I mean, Alexis got sent off this weekend, but he scored a goal this weekend as well. And, you know, I'm not saying he's completely out of his slump and he's back to the player he was, but he got a fresh start and shit.
Sometimes you just need a new team.
Scored a goal.
Sometimes you just need a new new change of scenery.
Yeah, and I think even if it's a loan deal, that's probably what Ozil needs.
No, yeah, I agree. But anyways, yeah, that's enough of Arsenal. I mean, we know what we expect from them. Man U, same shit, different day. Rashford, not a striker. Not a striker at all. And actually,
all you got, though, right now.
All we have, dude. And you know what?
Until again, Martial comes back.
Again, at the board. Fuck you. At the board, at the Glazers, at Woodward. But actually, I saw something interesting. Actually, Jose Mourinho said this about Rashford. And I actually, to be honest, I don't like the guy too much, but that dude's spot on when he says shit sometimes. I mean,
he's a really good analyst.
Analyst. He's a really good analyst. I don't know about coach anymore. We'll see, but he's a really good analyst. I mean, he reads the game well, but this is what he said about Rashford. You know, a lot of people are saying Rashford's now 23 years old, so he's still fairly young. You know, he's not the finished product yet. But Mourinho was saying how he's had 5 years of first-team football. I mean, he was saying how he just needs to be, you know, he said there's a difference between being, like, a young player when you haven't really played first-team football and a young player who's been playing consistently
first-team football. Yeah, so he was 18,
football.
Right?
He started with Louis van Gaal. Yeah. So he was, like, 18, 19, and he's 23 now. So he's had 4 or 5 years consistently paying on the first team, and he hasn't really been scoring a lot of goals. And then there's people that say, you know, oh, well, you know, they were putting him on the wing. You know what? That's fucking bollocks, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, that's bollocks. Look at Ronaldo when he was on Manchester United. He played a winger, and he banged in fucking goals.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if you have, and I'm not saying that Rashford's not good or he can't be good. I just think that he needs to start, like, his end product. He needs to have more end product, man. And, like, more confidence, more, like, aggression in front of goal and have that killer instinct to put the ball in the back of the net, man. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a striker or a winger. Like, there's been, I mean, look at Thierry Henry when he was younger, you know, when he played on wing for Arsenal. He bagged in goals. Ronaldo bagged in goals on the wing. I mean, Ronaldo didn't become a striker until he became, like, what? Like, late 20s, 29, 30? Yeah. So it's like, you either got it or you don't when it comes to a killer instinct in the final third, and I just don't think Rashford has that right now. I mean, can he get it? Yeah, but I mean, just I don't know how his training habits are, so I really don't know.
In his defense, but also he's gonna turn 22 this month. He's 21 at the moment, so he's got still 4 years, almost going on 4 years. But in his defense, when a player's at a young age, and yes, I agree with you. He definitely needs to develop more elements to his game. Like, he needs to be able to have that killer instincts on the wing as well as in the center.
Yeah.
But in his defense, and when a player is at a young age and at this level for a club of this size, it is challenging from him to go for him to have played two positions at a young age, and combined with the fact that he's lacking talent around him in the attacking third right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So in his defense, and I know he's definitely had, especially this year, chances that he should have bagged away. And he's got 3 goals this year. He should probably have at least 5.
Mm-hmm.
But in his defense, the concept that he doesn't have, I mean, Martial's out right now. Pogba is hit or miss.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't really have an attacking midfielder. And
no, yeah.
He doesn't have two quality wingers, and he doesn't really have an attacking midfielder.
Yeah, no. And I don't think he works well as a lone striker. Either.
Right, and combined with the fact that he started out as a winger, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he started playing for the first team at 18 or 17.
Yeah, it was a winger. It was a winger.
And now they've shifted him inside, and yeah, he's capable of playing both, but, you know, when there's this much pressure on him at a big club like this,
yeah, it's hard to produce results.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's
no, tough. Yeah.
So in his defense, I'll give him that.
Yeah, no. And yeah, I'll say this also. Like, when Ronaldo came, when he was that young, he had world-class players by his side.
Right. To play. Right. So, and right.
And this team is fucking booty. This is, honestly, bro, I can't name a worse United team I've seen in all of history. I really can't. And that's not to fault a lot of these young players. It's just, man, I mean, from both these teams, it's just sad. Like, the recruitment, like, everything that's been going on the past, like, 6-7 years. No big club should ever take this long to get back up after, like, you know, letting go of a major manager. I mean, that's just so. Well, but anyways.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point about Rashford. I'll just, one more thing on United. Paul Pogba, dude.
I don't know.
He's such a passive player in this team. Like, obviously, well, he's on paper, he's your best midfielder, but will he ever show it? I don't know.
I don't like how he's sitting back, though. I don't know why Ole has him sitting all the way in the back. I mean, if he's your most creative player, I think you should put him as a cam, not Lingard. I don't fucking know. But I'd almost rather
have seen them play Fred and McTominay, and then Pogba as the 10.
As a camp, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know what I don't even think Ole knows what their system is.
Yeah, I know.
Are they going to play a 4-2-3-1? Are they going to play a 4-3-3? I know it's kind of the same story with Arsenal. Because if they're going to play a 4-3-3, then you obviously don't necessarily have an out-and-out number 10.
No, yeah.
But the way it's lined up, at least on FotMob here, it looks like they played the 4-2-3-1, and that's kind of how it looked in the game as well.
Yeah, and then you put in Lingard, who hasn't had a goal or an assist in almost a year.
Dude. Lingard is useless.
So, you know, man, it's just an everyday thing that I deal with as a Man United fan right now. And, you know, I think I'm going to go start seeking help in counseling to kind of get me through
mental health,
because I don't know what to do anymore. I always think it's going to be different, and I just wake up with more sadness in my heart and... yeah, I don't know. It's pretty sad. But anyways, let's move on.
Passive from Pogba for sure. But yeah, let's see what else we got here. City Everton really quick. I'm not going to spend too much time on them. Everton put up a better game than I thought they were going to. They were able to keep it tied for a little while there. Gabriel Jesus gets a start in this game over Aguero, and I wanted to bring it up really quick. He, in a press conference... I don't know if it was, I think it was last week. Gabriel Jesus is still a young dude. He's like 21 or 22. And when he was brought in 2 seasons ago, he was obviously brought in as a depth piece behind Aguero. Aguero, you know, at that time, you know, he was just getting over seasons at a time where he was getting a lot of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, he's actually been healthier than he's ever been, honestly. But Gabriel Jesus was brought out as a depth piece, and he's a damn good player, obviously. There's no question about it.
Agreed.
But he said in this press conference how it's really pushing his patience at this point, because he wants to be the guy, and it's discouraging for him to be coming off the bench and be not starting in big games and this and that. And I totally get it. But it's like Aguero's not doing anything that keep him off the field by any means.
No, I agree, bro. I mean, that's a tough situation, right? Like, because Gabriel Jesus, if he goes on another team, he'll start, you know?
Right.
I think he'll start. But Aguero, man, I mean, the dude's class, right? But, you know, the way I look at it, I mean, with Gabriel Jesus is I really think that he's at the best place that he could be right now, to be honest with you. And I know... And I know it's frustrating as a player, like, with his quality to not be, like, a number one choice. But the way you got to think about it is, I mean, Aguero's not going to be there forever. I mean, he's getting older now, right? Mm-hmm. He's getting older. Who knows? I don't know when his contract then. I don't really know that whole entire situation. I don't know if he's going to renew his contract. I don't know what the deal with that whole entire thing is, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if he wants to, like, go back to Argentina to play when he's old. I really don't know.
It wouldn't surprise me,
right?
But Aguero is 31.
Yeah,
and he's still playing. Like, he's 26.
That's what's hard, bro.
And it's crazy because, like, how can you, as Pep, or any manager, I guess, for any
bench Aguero?
How can you justify benching a guy who's almost pretty much guaranteed to bang you 20 goals a season? He's scored 20 plus goals in, I think, like 5 or 6 years.
If you were to remind me of someone really, like, not the way they play, but just how effective they are in front of net, it was like Van Persie when he was like at and I'm not talking about playing style at all. I'm just saying, like, when Van Persie was on Arsenal and Man United, I mean, you're not gonna bench him because
sheer numbers.
He's gonna get you 20 plus goals that season. Right. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, you could say like old, like Wayne Rooney, all those players, right? There's, you cannot bench those players because you know they're gonna give you goals no matter what, right? So I really like Gabriel Jesus though, man. He's a good player. I hope they do everything they can to keep him. You know, hopefully they keep him happy. But it's good that Pep is kind of like, you know, rotating as much as he can, you know?
Yeah, he said, quote, "I'm over the I have to wait phase. I've been here for almost 3 years. It's my fourth season, and that makes me want to play more. Obviously, it's very hard to compete for a place with Aguero, the biggest legend of the club. Although it's good for the team, he plays well in the team, and I do the same." And obviously, Pep understands this, but I agree with you. Like, this is the best place for him to be. I think he has the best chance of really hitting his ceiling if he stays, his frustrations, and instead of going somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I were him, bro, I mean, I just keep doing what he's doing, bagging in goals when he gets the chance to come in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing you can do. And, like, I mean, if there's any more reason for him to fucking stay, bro, just look at Raheem Sterling. Look what happened to him, bro.
Yeah.
If I got a contract from City, I know I'll bag in, like, 10 goals this season. This is the way they fucking play. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, you know.
Put yourself in front of the net.
You put yourself in front of the net, bro, and, like, a fucking bag in goals. So, I guess that's, like, City's only problem, to be honest, is they have so many good players, and it's hard to play all of them, right? I think that's their only issue.
I mean, yeah, you could say the same for João Cancelo right now. I mean.
That's surprising,
Kyle
bro.
Walker is in a similar situation as Aguero. You know, he's getting up in age, but he's still playing like he's 26.
No, yeah,
and, you know, João Cancelo is obviously just as good of a player, or right there with Kyle Walker. And, you know, he's going to have to kind of play the same game as Jesus has been playing. But I definitely wanted to touch on
Jesus
situation. He started this game. He scored. He played very well. And I also want to talk about Mahrez, someone who I thought we could have found better.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know he wanted out of Leicester and, like, someone was going to get him. But I thought we could have gone out and found someone better. Not that he's a bad player, but last year, he was very underwhelming, but recently he's been getting some looks with Leroy Sané out with the ACL.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's been playing a lot better, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
And
that's a big thing in their system. Like, if you ain't tracking back and doing your defensive work,
your ass is on the bench.
You're on the bench.
Yeah.
And I think it took a little while, just because of the type of player that he is. For Pep to really instill that in his mind, like, hey, man, you got to show me something on the defensive side of the ball or else you're only going to start in the Mickey Mouse Cup.
Yeah, no, exactly, bro. I mean, hey, man. And to be honest, what's good about a City situation is they have that, what do you call it, that scare tactic because they have so many fucking good players that they can put in your position, right? You're not above the team. So if you don't do what the coach says, I mean, it's fine. We'll just put you on the bench. We'll just find another person to play.
Yeah, we'll sell you in the next transfer.
And we'll just find another person wants to play.
Someone will want you.
Yeah, so.
Anyone would want any of our players.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, exactly. I'm just, real quick, imagine if Mahrez was still in Leicester, though, how good Leicester would be.
I'm trying to think who. So they've got, wingers-wise, they've got Vardy up top, and then they have Harvey Barnes, and I don't even know if they really, do they really play with wingers at this point? But, yeah, I mean, you're right. I get your point. Yeah, he would
be scary.
I think, and this is, I actually saw someone write up about this, and we'll talk a little bit more about Leicester when we get to that game. But someone said that player for player on paper, this Leicester team this year might be even better than the team that they had when they won the league.
Big facts. Yeah, dude, I agree.
The teams around them, obviously, like, you have the City and the Liverpools of the world who will obviously never let that happen.
Leicester win a title like they
did. But on paper-wise.
On paper, good as fuck, bro.
Just as good, if not a little bit better than their league-winning squad.
And I'm definitely, we can get into their game too right now, but I'm definitely for them getting top four, bro. They're looking good right now.
I'm convinced, man. I'm sold. They're
looking good. I hope, you know what? We need something like that right now. I hope they do, to be honest. They deserve it, if anything.
So let's segue into that game. That was the only Sunday game, I believe.
Yeah.
A fucking 5-0 spanking of Pookcastle. Let's just fucking relegate Newcastle now.
Dude.
Watford.
Yeah. Ah, man, bro. You know, it's sad to, like, see, because, like, I like, Newcastle is a club, like, I really do want them to do well. Like, I don't have anything against Newcastle. I think the fan base is great. The stadium, I mean, great atmosphere over there. But you know what, dude? It's that damn fucking owner who's fucking them in the ass, bro.
It was super dumb for them to get rid of Rafa and put fucking Steve Bruce.
Yeah.
Steve Bruce is, like, that one of those handful of coaches that just get, like, rotated through him, Sam Allardyce, Tony Pulis, like guys like those who just like seem to like always just get rotated through the like mid table to bottom table teams. Yeah, yeah.
And like that's like that shows no ambition.
Right.
No ambition.
Right. And Steve Bruce is not gonna achieve
get
anything.
Get you top half of the table. No
right.
way.
And obviously it doesn't help that he doesn't have much to work with.
No, yeah.
But fuck it. I mean, I know there's a red card in this game, but 5-0, man. I mean, come on. I don't even think they had a fucking sniff at goal either. They had 3 shots.
Yeah, bro. I mean, oh, God. Yeah, that was a brutal game. I mean, let's see. Who scored all their goals for...
Vardy with 2.
Vardy with 2. Actually, you know what? Real quick, I got Vardy on my fantasy team. I changed up my whole entire front line.
No. That's not good for me. I'm below you right now. Yikes. Ricardo Pereira had a golden goal honorable mention. With his opening goal, fuck that long ass run from right back. That was a freaking silky goal.
Yeah, that was man. God, dude. I mean, I don't want to say this, but I think Vardy's back, baby. I don't know.
I don't think he ever left, to be honest with
no,
you.
No, but like I'm just saying, like from that one season when they won it, he was just banging in goals. Like it was his fuck. I mean, it is his job, but he was banging in goals, man. Like he was banging women. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, he's 32 now, and he's got 5 goals in 7 games. Yeah, so he hasn't lost a fucking step.
I signed them up on the quicks on my team.
Did you
get
rid of Pookie Bear?
I got rid of Pookie Bear. Oh, I love you, man. Pookie. I got rid of Pookie Bear. I got rid of Rashford, and I put in Callum Wilson.
Yeah, Callum Wilson's a fucking
so
hoss.
I cleared out the dead wood on my team. Yeah. And I needed a...
You know who I rate very highly on Leicester as well is Ben Chilwell.
He's really good, dude. I like him.
I actually said last year, you know, if City always end up looking for a left back in the offseason, which they ended up bringing in a different guy, but I wouldn't have any complaints if they brought in Ben Chilwell. I think he's really composed out of the back. I think he would have fit the system really well.
Oh yeah.
And I think it'll be tough for Leicester to hang on to him.
No, I think
forward.
So too. He's class, bro. Unless Leicester get top 4, I think they can keep most of the players if they get top 4. If they get top 4. But anyways, yeah, not much to be said. I mean, Leicester donged on Newcastle. And Newcastle, well, man, sorry you Newcastle fans. It honestly looks like you guys are getting relegated this season. I don't like to make assumptions this early, but you guys aren't looking too hot.
That's a good segue into our last. I mean, we'll talk about Sheffield Liverpool a little bit.
Real
but,
quick, yeah.
That'll be a good segue into who do you think will be in the relegation battle this year?
Let me look at this table real quick. Hold on. So, obviously, Wofford and Newcastle, right?
Those are givens.
Wofford, bro. Oh, my Yikes. God. Like, you know what's really... I mean, even Newcastle has a win. Wofford doesn't. I mean, what's really surprising with Wofford is, dude... They should have came. They kind of came off a high from last season. I know they got donged in the FA Cup final, but they made it to the FA Cup final.
Yeah,
you know, like,
and they had they were like up there like an eighth for a little.
Yeah,
while.
Yeah. They made a decent run in the league also, but I don't know what happened. I mean, I don't know if they didn't recruit enough players, and I mean, I don't know, bro. It's just I never rated Wofford very high, but I never thought they'd do this shitty.
Me neither. Know?
And it's crazy to see them. Newcastle, obviously, also. I think, dude, Aston Villa's not looking hot either, bro. Aston Villa is kind of looking stinky, too. You know what, dude? Like, honestly, there's a lot of teams right now. I mean, I know Aston Villa, Newcastle, Wofford are in the relegation zone right now.
I'm going to throw Brighton in there.
I was about to say Brighton. Norwich is close, too, right now, bro.
I think Norwich will end up... I know they have a ton of injuries right now. When they get a healthy squad,
they could probably
I think they play good enough footy to...
Yeah, yeah.
It'll... It might be close for them, but I think ultimately, I think they'll pull it out.
Wolves. I mean, they won, so maybe they'll pick it up again. So yeah, I mean, you know what, dude? I'll say these 4: Brighton. I agree with you. Aston Villa, Newcastle, Wofford. I think it's gonna be between those 4.
The only other team that I could maybe throw in there would be Southampton. But I ultimately think Southampton would squeak it out at the end. As of right now, I'm going to say Newcastle, Villa, and Watford get relegated. And I know that's the bottom three right now, but honestly, they've shown the least.
Yeah.
Brighton would be the only other team.
And with Aston Villa, it's sad, bro, because they have a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah.
But you know what, dude? I mean, it's like we saw last year with Fulham. I mean, you know, sometimes spending all that money doesn't really help.
Actually, I think it's been proven in the last like few seasons or so that it's better if you keep majority of the guys that you had when you came up instead of going out and buying a bunch of players. Why is my phone on?
I thought that was my computer. It's on the hub right now or something, right now, huh?
Bill Burr was talking, sorry. From the Monday Morning Podcast. But, yeah, I think it's better if... I think we're going to see... we see Sheffield right now. They have maintained most of the squad they had from last year, and same with Norwich. And they've played the best of the three teams. Funny,
yeah, it's just really hard, bro, to recruit like all these new players in and kind of get them all to play like a certain system. I mean, it's really hard, especially when you go up to the Premier League.
Yeah.
You could probably do it when you get up to the Championship or, you know, if you're in League One. I mean, that's easy, right? It's an easier competition. But when you get up to the Premier League, the best business model when it comes to forming your team is keeping most of your guys and then maybe adding in some like guys that can really make a difference on the team
when it comes to
X Factor. But, you know, just getting a whole entire new team I don't think helps at all. But, yeah. Anyways, speaking of Sheffield, we'll go to the Sheffield-Liverpool game real quick. That was actually not too crazy. I thought it was going to be a lot more of a...
Yeah, Sheffield held their own. I was able to see a little bit of this game just because I think this was the early game and I was up early that day. But... the difference maker was a mistake from the goalkeeper from Sheffield. He had a bit of a howler on the goal from Wijnaldum. But Sheffield did a really good job of, you know, obviously, no matter who Liverpool is playing against, they're going to get a lot of shots off.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same would go for City as well. But Sheffield really limited them to quality chances. So... even though they were probably rattling off a lot of shots, they didn't have any, like, they didn't have a ton of dangerous looks, basically. Salah missed a couple decent chances, but overall, Sheffield limited them to a lot less quality chances than I think people would have expected
to. And then the actual goal was just a mistake from Henderson.
Right, right.
So, I think Liverpool squeaked this one just barely, to be honest. They squeaked the win.
Yeah, and by no means did I think, you know, well, I mean, Sheffield had some chances in this game.
No. If anything, I thought it was going to be a tie just when I saw how close the game was. I never thought that Sheffield were
going to win. But I'll also say Liverpool never really looked,
you
know, like on their heels by any means.
No. See, and that's the thing. Like the scores can be deceiving sometimes in the sense of that, like, if you don't watch the game, you don't really know the whole entire story.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that's the thing. Liverpool just never really looked uncomfortable, even when they were just winning 1-0 or, you know, just barely getting through. So,
right.
You know, sometimes that happens, right? You can't always plow every team you play, right? Sometimes you just gotta get a lucky look.
And what separates Liverpool from the other usual big six, the Spurs and the Chelsea's
is
and
keeping
the
clean sheets.
Is keeping clean sheets and games like that where a team is really packing it in and being stingy and not switching off for a split second and allowing a late goal.
Yeah, so
that's Liverpool stays fucking undefeated. God damn it! But hopefully they drop points soon. But yeah, that'll do it for Premier League.
Yep.
Let's see. Let's just go through the other scores really quick. Wolves finally got a win.
Let's go.
If they weren't going to beat Watford, they might as well just relegate themselves.
I told you, that was my hot take, man. That was my hot take.
Burnley and Aston Villa, 2-2 tie. That sneaky good game, Bournemouth and West Ham, also a 2-2 tie. Norwich underwhelming again, lose to Crystal Palace. Spurs, despite down a man, they beat Southampton 2-1 very unconvincingly. And then we already talked about the other two. So yeah, it's United sit 10th, Leicester up to 4th, or 3rd.
3rd, bro.
Arsenal 4th, West Ham is still up there, and Bournemouth is in touching distance as well with Crystal Palace. Fucking wild.
I don't know what the fuck, I don't know how Crystal Palace is up there, but you know what, man?
It's only a matter of time.
Only even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, so.
But elsewhere around the world, we'll touch on a few big stories. AC Milan is in 16th place in Serie A.
Yeah, dude, I saw. I didn't watch their game, but they're not doing hot, bro.
Well, we talked about this was all the way back at the beginning of our potting, but Fiorentina, they got donged by Fiorentina at Milan 3-1 this weekend, and they drop all the way to 16th. Meanwhile, their noisy neighbors, Inter Milan, are undefeated still. In first place, man.
That's crazy.
And I've been telling y'all, don't sleep on Inter Milan.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my God. I mean, Milan have 4 goals, 8 against in 6 games. They don't even have a goal each game. So, I mean, they're close to the relegation zone right now, Lee. I mean, they're flirting with it.
Talk about a fucking drop from fame.
Yeah, I know. That's at least we're not that yet. Yeah. I don't know.
That's, yeah, they're in the United and Arsenal category at the moment.
Yeah.
But maybe even worse off. Yeah, 4 goals scored in 16th place. Who do they beat even?
They won 2.
Brescia and Verona, 2 newly promoted teams, 1-0 each.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, anyway, yeah, they're not doing hot, bro. But
that's a tough fan base to please, too, so. They've got to be hearing the boos and calling for the manager's head at this point.
They're feeling it right now, bro. And I don't really think they have a bad squad, do they? Like,
I mean, they don't have nearly the squads that they used to have.
No, but not enough to like be that low,
though. Right?
You know, like it. They should at least be. You know,
actually,
like
looking at this, this might be one of the weakest AC Milan squads I've seen in a long time.
I mean, even Rebic is on this team. They signed Rebic. If I were Rebic, I must have hate yourself for wanting for leaving Frankfurt and coming to AC.
Not only is it a very weak starting 11, there's like a very weak bench as well. I don't even know the 2 guys that got subbed on in this game against Fiorentina. I don't even know who they are. Samuel Castillejo. I don't even know who he is. And Radek Krunic. Bosnian guy? I don't know.
This is a
combination of coaching and probably front office, just as it is with United.
Yeah, this shit's stinky, bro. I just smell shit here. Yeah.
Yeah, so rough times for AC Milan. And then in Germany, man,
dude,
Bundesliga is fucking exciting.
I'm going to say this right now. Fuck the Premier League right now. Fuck every other league. I think Bundesliga is the most entertaining to watch right now.
And actually, now that I think about it, I didn't have this on the rundown. Bundesliga just signed an agreement with ESPN
be
on ESPN Plus for 2020 next season. And that's going to be awesome because I always want to watch Bundesliga games. But
it's hard.
They're
hard to
find.
Like
one on FS1 and I don't get FS2.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can only watch them once in a while.
Yeah, dude.
But yeah, the Bundesliga is killer right now. Dortmund tied against Werder Bremen this weekend.
Dortmund's been tying a lot. Like I feel like they haven't been able to close off games.
Yeah, and
right?
I feel like that's what killed them last year because they had like, that lead on Bayern and they like tied
they totally
and dropped points.
Yeah.
And
but they're not
caught them.
But they're not far from first. I mean, they're 3 points. They're in 8th, but they're only 3 points away from first. So it's not like, you know.
If you look at the Bundesliga standings, let me bring that up really quick. Those top 9 teams minus Freiburg, who still hasn't really played anyone like
good
strong yet.
Mm-hmm.
Those top 9 teams are all really solid squads.
Yep.
And like you said, only 3 points separate 8th place Dortmund from 1st place Bayern.
Yeah, so.
And Schalke beat Leipzig in Leipzig this weekend 3-1.
That's crazy.
So Schalke under the Huddersfield coach David Wagner.
Yep.
He's an American guy, but he used to coach at Dortmund and he coached at Huddersfield. He got them promoted. He's at Schalke now. Helped them turn things around. Schalke had a really rough year last year. But man, Gladbach, Leverkusen, Wolfsburg, Frankfurt in ninth, all good teams, man.
I mean, so they're all beasts, dude.
The Bundesliga, great, great fucking league. And I think we had mentioned it before. Top to bottom, I think the Bundesliga has the best league.
I agree. When it comes to, like, the playing style of the teams, yeah, for sure. Because I know Premier League is, it's my hot take right now. I think Bundesliga is more entertaining to watch than the Prem League when it comes to just overall soccer, if you can agree with that. I just think that the play, even with the lower teams, the quality of soccer is a lot better than, say, your Brightons and Watfords, you know?
Yeah, and I guess we'll probably be able to have a better opinion once we get to watch more games next year when it's on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, yeah.
But the only thing I will say, Premier League-wise, the top two teams in the Premier League are better than the top two teams in the Bundesliga at this moment.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Liverpool, yeah. City, I think, are better than
Bayern. Oh, no, yeah, I agree.
But yeah, the Bundesliga.
Good league.
Go watch it, guys, if you haven't had the chance to. Catch a game with the few games that get televised because
they're fun to watch.
It is wide open at the top right now. And the last thing for the round of world, MLS playoffs are looming. Decision day is this weekend. Sad face, our Chicago Fire officially eliminated. It was at the game this weekend. Even if they had won, it wouldn't have mattered. The Revs
won.
Beat New York City.
Hopefully, next time we don't put ourselves in that situation and we actually just qualify straight up. That'd be nice.
Yep, absolutely. They did that to themselves. It should have never came down to that. They have one of the best teams on paper, in my opinion, especially in the Eastern Conference.
Hopefully we fire our coach.
Yeah, it's time for a change. Definitely time for a change.
New owner, new coach. We just need new everything, man. Just new stadium.
clean house with the GM and the coach and... Start fresh in the new stadium next year.
Yeah.
But New England locks that seventh spot. I'm excited for MLS playoffs. And then with the Western Conference, there's two spots up for grabs. Portland, FC Dallas, San Jose, and the Colorado Rapids all have a chance at those last two spots. From a little bit of MLS that you've watched this year, Hav, who do you think best chance for the MLS Cup this year?
LAFC, bro.
Carlos Vela away.
If whoever plays, like, besides the Galaxy, whoever plays against LAFC, I mean, I would be shitting my pants. They're so fucking good, Lee.
They're so good. And they're just head and shoulders above everyone else, in my opinion.
I mean, they are, bro. And speaking of Vela, bro, how many didn't he hit, like, 31 goals? Didn't he tie Josef Martinez's record?
Yeah, he tied it this weekend.
I think he's going to break it, right? Do they still count the playoffs as a league or no?
I think it might be the Golden Boot might be regular season.
Okay.
He'll have this weekend to break it because he got one game left.
He's balling, bro. He's balling for LAFC. He's lighting up the MLS. He's been the biggest X factor in this league so far.
He's clear MVP. Like, there's no one else even close in the same conversation. The one thing that I will say is the MLS changed the playoff structure this year to its single-game elimination.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, yeah.
So
no more home away, right?
No more two legs. And so having it be one game only.
Do you like that better?
I actually do kind of like it better. It kind of condenses it a little bit. Sometimes with two legs each round, yeah, it kind of drags out a little bit.
Yeah, it gets too boring.
But my point is, single-game elimination, anyone can beat anyone on any single day. And yet, LAFC on paper and the way they've played this year, they're head and shoulders above everyone else. But like you said, they don't know how to beat the Galaxy.
All it takes is one game, man. And I was about to say my other team would be LA Galaxy, to be honest with you. I mean, you can't count out a team who has Ibra.
That's true.
You know, you can't count on a team who has Ibra. But those, honestly, bro, those are my two biggest teams that I think can take it this year. I don't know if you have. I mean, maybe you're more experienced with MLS, so you maybe have.
I wouldn't sleep on Minnesota United this year, especially if they get a home playoff berth, which I'm pretty sure they're going to. They pretty much have it as a lock, I think. Here, they only lost one game at that new stadium that they have up in St. Paul. They're really, really good home team, and you know, if someone like the LA Galaxy knocks out LAFC before Minnesota has to play them. Minnesota can fucking beat anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
I also wouldn't sleep on Seattle. And then from the East, the only two teams I really see having a chance from the East is New York City FC. And maybe Atlanta if...
I was going to say Philly, though, right?
Maybe Atlanta if Joseph Martinez is back healthy. If he's not... Philly is... I'm not sold on Philly, honestly. New York City, I think, is really the... From all the teams I got to see the Fire play this year in the East, New York City was the best. Mm-hmm. And they did lock first place up in the East, so they'll get a first round bye. DC United, up and down. I think the Fire should have beaten them both times they played them. The Red Bulls, unpredictable. So, yeah. Actually, I thought Toronto had a good side when the Fire played them this weekend.
Yeah, they did. They did.
But their back line is really shaky.
Yeah, I was gonna say their back line's ass water. But when we went to that Toronto game in Canada, their attack looked really nice though. It was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, so. And they play with wing backs, which is tough to play against if they get it right. So I ultimately can't see anyone from the East winning the whole thing.
No,
it's going to be anyone, it'll be New York City FC. But I think it'll be most likely LAFC will get there, but I wouldn't sleep on Minnesota, Seattle, or the Galaxy.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, we will touch more on that after Decision Day, which is this weekend, to give our full playoff analysis. But that'll do it for Around the World. Moving on to the Golden Goals. What do you got?
So mine, I already told you, it was Scotty McTominay's goal.
Scotty McSauce?
Scotty McSauce. McSauce! He had a good goal. I actually liked it a lot.
I didn't know he had it in him.
Neither did I. But you know what, bro? He showed a Pogba in that game. He showed Pogba how to play well. And I'll give it to the lad. I mean, you know, he's I wouldn't say he's anything special right now. I don't know. But you know what, bro? I'll give it to you. The guy gets stuck in. He's a fucking fighter. And bro, he leads with his work rate. To be honest with you.
Yeah, he does have a very good work rate. And you know, and I think that's a big reason why he showed up Pogba in this game, and it may not be the last time because
No.
Pogba just a lot of times he just looks like he's going through the motions out
there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know what's going on in his head, and I mean we won't get into it again, but who knows, right? With the transfer and all this bullshit that's going on, who knows, right? But Scotty had a fucking nice goal. I don't know if you saw it, Lee, but got the Rashford, I think, was aiming for Pogba, was a shitty pass.
Kind of came off of a corner kind of came out.
Yeah. Scott McTominay just touched it top of the ball, rolled it to his right side, and then just fucking smacked it on the top of the net, bro. And then
shout out to Xhaka for ducking.
Xhaka saw that shit, and he was like, oh, nope, I'm ducking, man. My head's going to get blown off. And they went in, bro. But, you know, Scotty comes up with some nice plays like that. I don't know. He's a solid player, and you know what? Take a bow, son. I'm happy for you. You deserve that goal.
Yeah, I feel like he can pull shit out of his ass once in a while. Yeah. My goal comes from USL League One. Sunderland. If you guys haven't seen the Sunderland Till I Die Netflix series, I would highly recommend it. But this goal comes from them. Max Power, his name is. They played MK Dons this weekend. They won 2-1, and Max Power scored the first goal. Kind of similar to Scotty's, to where it kind of just came out to him from, might have been a set piece, and he kind of just hits it across the goal, across his body, and finds the top corner. And I've heard that that's his second, like, just worldy of a goal in, like, the past week. Damn. He scored one in midweek in the Mickey Mouse Cup,
beast,
I think.
Beast.
So, yeah, he's showing out for Sunderland. And they are top four in the League One right now. So hopefully they can get fucking promoted and back to their glory days.
Let's go.
But, yeah, that will do it. We'll put those on our Twitter page between now and the next episode. Next episode, we'll dive into Champions League. We know there were games today. There'll be games tomorrow. Any big ones tomorrow that you want to preview real quick?
Inter-Barca.
Ooh, Inter-Barca. That's going to be a good one.
X-Factor is going to be if Messi comes back.
That will be an X-Factor. Liverpool play host to Jesse Marsh's Salzburg.
Yeah, there's a lot of good games going on besides that one.
That
yeah.
Leipzig-Lyon game would be interesting, and Valencia-Ajax, I think,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, Lille and Chelsea.
Yep.
As well. We get to see, hopefully, Timothy Weah come up. And
yeah, that would be nice.
Hopefully Christian, man. I hope Christian gets some looks now, bro. I'm getting worried now.
Yeah, I am getting a little concerned. I did hear that it doesn't seem like him and Lampard are on the same page. Like Lampard hasn't really given him any feedback as to, you know,
his role
and why he's not playing. And I mean, obviously
he didn't pick him, right? So
he didn't. Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think of that. Yeah. So it might get worse before it gets better, but yeah, I am getting a little bit concerned, but he's still young.
I mean, Pulisic, what he has to do, I think, is good training habits. And as well, when he gets the minutes, bro, I mean, show what you got, you know, don't be afraid. That's the only way you're going to really be able to, you know, what he needs to do is you got to play so well that the coach has no other option right. but to play you. I mean, I know it's easier said than done, obviously, but.
And his biggest thing, even when he was at Dortmund, is, yeah, he plays well when he's in there, but he doesn't always rack up as many assists or goals as he should. Yeah. And I think he's at the point in his career now where he's 22. He's not a kid anymore. Obviously, he's still pretty young, but he's not a kid anymore. And he's going to be expected to assist, score goals.
Yeah.
And it is going to come down to numbers at some point. And if he's not putting up those kinds of numbers.
It's like Pepe, same thing.
Yeah, yeah, same thing.
So if you're not putting up those numbers, man, I mean, you're not going to be playing.
And William and Pedro played this weekend or the past weekend, yeah. And I think one of them had a goal, or
yeah,
one of them
they wanted
an assist,
to play well.
And
so,
hey, man, that's what you got to do, man.
I mean, that's what happened with Sancho at Dortmund, right? Sancho came in and he started putting up numbers, man. Yeah. And Christian wasn't putting up numbers, so I think that's his biggest thing is like, what can I do to, you know, put in and some sort of end product, whether that be assists or goals. One of those two, and you know, it's got to be more than just kind of just like, oh, he played well. You know, got to start.
Right. That's a good point. It's going to be more than, yeah, I thought he had a nice game. He had some flashes here and there. But no, he's got to have that end product,
and,
like you said.
And, you know, it's a lot of pressure. But you know what? It's like you got to like that pressure, right? You got to want it. Like, you
if
know,
he wants to really hit his ceiling.
You just got to take that pressure, that adversity, and you got to feel it for you to really be able to pull through. Because, you know, I mean, I hope he pulls through, man, because he's a big he's a big icon for us U.S. fans, and I really hope he pulls through and kind of, like, shows the way for these new players coming in, right? Because he is a poster boy for this team. So I hope it pulls through. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Me too. They've got Lille tomorrow on the road, and since they did lose to Valencia in their first game, this is big because Valencia plays Ajax tomorrow. I think that could be a sleepy game.
Yeah.
As well. But yeah, we will cover that next episode. That'll either be tomorrow or Thursday. But other than that, we will see you guys next time.
Yep. Peace out, guys. Take it easy.